Good afternoon. I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. The Juneau School District says its students' personal data may have been compromised in a national data breach. The software company PowerSchool gave the district an initial all-clear last week, but further examination by the district's IT department revealed suspicious activity. PowerSchool then confirmed Juneau's data had been compromised. Superintendent Frank Hauser shared the news at a school board meeting last night.
After first saying that our Juneau School District product or student information system was not impacted, our PowerSchool rep has now reversed course and said that it was. This is a developing situation, and the district has communicated to families the information we have at present.
PowerSchool is a software used by districts across the nation for things like grades, attendance, and homework assignments. It can also store some more confidential and personal information like social security numbers and medical conditions. The Juneau School District has used the software for many years. The nationwide cybersecurity breach happened late last month. The company discovered that a user had gained unauthorized access to its information using a customer support portal. Since then, some districts in the country have reported that students' contact information, things like names and addresses, have been breached along with sensitive data like social security numbers. Hauser says the district is still waiting to hear back about how much personal information was accessed in Juneau, but there's some important information they believe was not compromised.
The Juneau School District does not collect social security numbers, driver's license numbers, or any credit card information in PowerSchool.
Hauser says the district will update families and the public as it learns more. Other districts in Alaska had their data compromised too, including the Petersburg School District, Bering Strait School District, and the Nome Public Schools. And Alaskans who have experienced stalking or domestic violence or who work as police or correctional officers aren't able to hide their addresses from the public. That can put them and their families at risk. As KTOO's Yvonne Crumry reports, a Juneau lawmaker proposed a bill that would protect their personal information.
Senator Jesse Keel, a Juneau Democrat, pre-filed a bill which would allow victims of certain crimes and law enforcement officers to enroll in a program that gives them a P.O. box as a mailing address, keeping their home address confidential on public filings and other documents.
People who have escaped from violent situations, dangerous, abusive situations, absolutely have to have the ability to live a life in Alaska that includes things that create public records, right?
More than 40 states have similar programs, but Keel's bill includes correctional officers and police.
We just need to provide some protection to folks who are particularly at risk of violence.
The bill has been introduced twice before, but stalled out in committee before it could become law. It requires victims of crimes to have filed a protective order or to meet, quote, other standards set by the department. During the last legislative session, advocates for victims of violence and law enforcement officers testified in support of the bill. Susie Pearson is the former director of Abused Women's Aid in Crisis, or AWAKE, the largest domestic violence safe shelter in Alaska. Last year, she testified that a program like this protects everyone at the shelter, since domestic violence victims often use AWAKE as a mailing address for vital documents.
We feel that having a confidential address program would stop AWAKE from being a primary target of abusers that find out their victims are staying in or receiving mail at our shelter.
Pearson also says she hopes the bill could be expanded to include people who have not filed protective orders. Randy McLellan testified on behalf of the Alaska Correctional Officers Association when the bill was in the Senate Judiciary Committee last year. He said the bill would prevent people who wish officers harm from accessing their personal information.
We have about 950 correctional officers spread out through 12 different facilities across the state. And unfortunately, physical assault and threats of harm against correctional officers and their families is commonplace.
In previous years, the state has estimated the program would cost under $400,000 a year to operate. Keel says he believes that his fellow legislators will recognize its public safety value. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry.
And the KSM mine project in British Columbia could be the largest undeveloped gold and copper mine on the planet, according to the BC government. The company that's developing the mine cleared a major regulatory milestone in November. But now that mine is facing legal challenges from tribes on both sides of the border. As KRBD's Jack Darrell reports, tribes in Alaska fear the impacts the mine could have downstream, and they don't think the province acted in good faith.
The Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission is worried about the region's rivers. They're a group of 15 Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian nations who came together because they believe mining in British Columbia poses a threat to their spawning salmon and ouligan habitats, like the Unic and Stikine rivers. Guy Archibald is the commission's director. He says the Kerr Sulfritz Mitchell mine, a proposed gold and copper mine at the foot of the Salmon Glacier just across the Canadian border, could harm fish populations the commission's tribes rely on.
The KSM is on a whole nother scale of mining. One of the world's largest open pit mines, if it's ever built. Our tribes and communities are directly downstream. We rely on the fish and the food security opportunities that the unit provides.
Seabridge Gold is the company developing the mine. They say that if the mine goes into production, it'll create nearly 1,500 jobs and over $80 billion for Canada and the province over its projected 60-ish year lifespan. In November, the British Columbia government issued the project something called a substantially started determination. Basically, they declared that the project was far enough along and had met the environmental permitting requirements to move forward. But Archibald says tribes in Alaska didn't really have a seat at the table.
And yet, the Alaska tribes are not really afforded, you know, any kind of voice in how this process works out. So we're trying every way possible to try to be sure that our communities are protected.
Then in late November, the Transboundary Commission and conservation group Skeena Wild filed a legal challenge against the British Columbia government. Archibald says Alaska tribes should have had a voice in the process because their livelihoods are at risk.
Billions of tons of acid-generating waste rock just piled into valleys, valley fills, you know, direct tributaries to the Unic River. And so it's almost inevitable that bad things are going to happen.
The same month, a small First Nation in Canada, the Tsitsawiskikamaha, filed their own legal challenge against British Columbia, saying the province didn't properly consult with them either before issuing the determination. EcoJustice, that's the Canadian law firm representing the Transboundary Commission and Skeena Wild, says the process for environmental assessments has changed in the decades since the KSM did theirs. The question they're raising is, what if one of the largest mining projects ever is proceeding on outdated information? The challenge also alleges that the province considered whether the substantially started determination would help the mine secure funding, you know, when it made the determination. In a statement, the executive director of Skeena Wild said, quote, "The agency tasked with assessing the environmental impact of a project shouldn't consider how that decision might support the company with project funding." R. Brent Murphy is the vice president of Seabridge. In an email to KRBD, he wrote that Seabridge's legal counsel are prepared to defend the validity of BC's determination. He went on to write that mining projects like the KSM aren't responsible for declines in salmon ouligan habitats. He chalked them up instead to climate change, habitat decline, overfishing. He added that the concerns of Alaskans were thoroughly evaluated during the review process and that the mine was moving forward with the highest consideration to environmental impact. But for Archibald of the Transboundary Commission, this is an empty promise.
Given the complex nature of an ecosystem, a productive ecosystem like the Unic watershed, and the complex nature of one of the world's largest mines, what the outcome of that is going to be if it moves forward is really anybody's guess.
The ball is now in the British Columbia government's court to determine how long they'll need to respond to the legal challenges. Lawyers for the tribe estimate the whole process could take about a year. Meanwhile, Seabridge is looking for partners in the project, another mining company big enough to build and operate the mine. After that, construction on the mine would take about 5 years. In Ketchikan, I'm Jack Darrell.
And now for a look at local weather in Juneau today. This afternoon, rain and snow with a high near 34 degrees, east wind of around 10 miles per hour. Tonight, snow is likely as well, mainly before 9 p.m. It will be cloudy and then gradually become partly cloudy with a low of around 29 degrees. Tomorrow is expected to be foggy between noon and 3 p.m. Otherwise, sunny with a high near 34 degrees. I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO.